Good morning. Happy Mother's Day. I hope that you had a great morning as a mother this morning, and a son or a father, you did what you needed to do. And if you haven't done that, the day is still young. You can do that before the day ends. Amen. I believe that God can always give us grace where we've missed something and need to get what we need to get. All right. Let me start with an announcement of people that are placing membership today. So please, let's welcome them as I read their names out. John and Kathy Bernard are placing the membership today. Where are they? Leon Tilly. Leon Tilly is placing his membership today. I guess he's not here this morning. And Mary Trapiano was baptized 2 weeks ago. There she is. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I ask that you be with us this morning as we read your scriptures, and thank you for what you've already done for us as we worship to your Father. Give us a great day, a great time with family as we celebrate Mother's. And help us never take that for granted. But I ask that, Lord, you guide me this morning as I speak through your word, that I will speak what is needed to be said here. It's in the name of our Lord Jesus that I pray and believe. Amen. Amen. In the last few weeks, we've been pursuing, understanding what gets in the way of transformation. And this morning, I will continue on that same path of what gets in the way of transformation. You see, we understand what God says to us about his life and how we need to change as a people. Okay, that's not where we're supposed to be. Let's see what happens here. All right. That was some transformation. That happens. It's a good person. He may say some good stuff later, not now. So we'll come back to that later. But whether we have to ask ourselves that question, what is getting in the way of transformation? And I have here the title of our message this morning is Love Happens When We Quit Judging. Something that gets in the way of transformation in an amazing way is how we judge. And whether you like it or not, you judge. You drive the car, you drive because you judge it against another car. And you didn't like the other car. And it's neither here or there. It's not right or wrong. But it's inherent in how we think. It's inherent how we make choices. But when we judge, there's a line you can cross that makes you unhealthy and unable to transform and get to a place where you need to be. So what then judgment does to us is sometimes hold us back in a place where we feel comfortable, a place where we don't feel the need to change, to be transformed. So we just stay there. And we use judgment as a way of rationalizing our position. And what that does then, it does not allow God's word to touch your heart, my heart, in a way that is transformative. That makes us the same people. And after a long time of being in the same place, you get empty as a Christian. You get tired. So I'm coming at this today so that you may connect with God. And so here it says, love happens when we quit judging. Amen? Amen. Christ's attitude was, Father, forgive them for they do not know what they're doing. Can you imagine that? Forgive them for they do not know what they're doing. Christ had gone through torture on the cross. I mean, being beaten. His friends had run away from him. And finally, on the cross, he says, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. Why would he say that? They knew that they were putting him on the cross. Why would they say that? They knew that they were going to have fun with his clothes. Because he could see beyond the action. He could see how they were misled in their thinking. In the time when Christ was reaching out for victory, they were thinking, here's a guy who was an imposter here, trying to tell us that he's a God. And so he could see beyond that. As human beings, we don't exercise that a lot. We judge by how it looks like. We don't judge by intent. We don't judge by what was God trying to do. We don't judge that way. It's just how it looks like. That's what we look at. And so it's important this morning to grasp the Spirit of Christ as you come across life. As things don't work for you, how would Christ come along on those issues? Would he just judge by how it looks? Or do you want to understand what was going on inside? What happened? How did you become this way? Why are you this way? And when you understand that, judgment goes away and compassion begins to take place. So, point number one. Okay, point number one. Internal change is the antidote for hypocrisy. Inside. When you're changing inside, hypocrisy gets out of the way. Matthew 7, which will stick here the whole time. Matthew 7, verse 1 to 3 says, "Do not judge so that you will not be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged. And by the standards of measure, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye?" All right, let's get this judgment thing right. In 1 Corinthians 5, the Bible says, hey, you need to make some judgment with the people in the church. The context of that is a church holding up a standard that is required in God's house. Amen? And then they look at what the Bible says and says, this is not acceptable. So you need to align to the scriptures and stick with the scriptures. Amen? In James, it talks about if you sit on the seat of judgment, you're no longer obeying the scriptures. In other words, in James, you take the role of being God himself. And so because you do, you stop applying the scriptures to yourself. And that gets in the way of transformation. You follow that? Because you're not the creator. You are created. So you're not submitting to God. So that's what gets in the way of transformation. So now let's move to where we're talking about. Now we're in Matthew 7. Matthew 7 is addressing the attitude, the criticalness that can stem around being judgmental. That's what Matthew 7 is addressing. The criticalness that can be just around judgmentalness and how we think about that. So he says, do not judge so that you will not be judged. If you're critical, people tend to be critical towards you. It's that you speak to them, but they don't feel encouraged, inspired. They feel like something is wrong with me. And on Mother's Day, you got to think about that. You know, if you think about your childhood and how your mother raised you and how they talked to you and how they taught you different things, the reason you came along was they encouraged you. They didn't beat you down. They didn't say, who gave birth to you? Now, some did when they were angry, but you knew they loved you beyond that. You knew that they wanted the best of you. So they didn't put you down. They wanted to teach you and make you a different person. They weren't critical of you. They were trying to train you and help you to be a better person. And that's what it's all about. So for in the way you judge, you will be judged. And by the way you... By your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. If we only judge by how it looks, maybe, how would you feel if you're judged that way? By how you just look. I just look at you and say, I don't like you. Why? You look angry. How do I know that? How do I know that? Judging is very shallow in most cases. People say, he looks like a thief. He looks like he's this. How do you know? How do you know? I once went out and I was driving by and I stopped and somebody says, you don't look like a minister. And I said, how am I supposed to look like? Do you see how judgment you put people in corners? Because you're not open to what God is saying at the moment. So you come with a predisposed place. The problem with judging is then you come up with a frame. And this frame is what everyone must fit in. So I can walk around with that frame. Say, Tony, do you fit this frame? You don't fit. God must not be in you. I go to Steve Coyer. Let me see if Coyer fits. Oh, maybe he fits. Oh, God is in Steve Coyer. But his son is too tall. God is not in him. That's the problem of judging. So you're so narrow-minded and you try to put God in this space of a human mind. So you're not opening yourself up to what God can do and in terms of just transforming you. And so we wonder, why do I plateau in my walk with God? You plateau because you put God in the frame. You've judged, made a decision about who God is, made a decision based on what you see on TV, made a decision based on what people say about God, made a decision based on how your father, your mother may have said anything about God. You don't realize this is about you and God. Teens, this is about you and God. It's not about you and your dad bringing you here. If you're here visiting, it's about you and God. Don't put him in a frame. You can experience God if you allow him to touch you beyond what you know of him. Because there's a lot to be said about God. Look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye. The problem with a criticalness or a judging mindset, it never looks inside. Never. In fact, in some fields, they'll question why you judge so much. They'll say, probably you are struggling with something and you're fighting that you don't like, that you don't like in yourself. And that's why you get on people with it. Because when you love people, you help them transform. You don't put them down. You help them transform. And that's what we have to understand. If we begin to deal with that, we'll begin to change and make the differences so that the difference we want to have in the church. If we want to have fellowship, we have to begin to transform and help each other to make that fellowship happen. Does that make sense? It's not about putting people down. It's how can we be the change that God wants us to be. If you judge people, you have no time to love them. That's what Mother Teresa says. It may be that's the reason why church can be so judgmental. We don't reach out to the world because as a church, we think we are better than them. And so we look down to the world and don't reach out to them. How can we reach out to a world we put down? They're immoral. They're this. All those things are bad, but the approach should not be judging. We should have compassion. This is what Jesus had with them. He said, these people need God. How can we reach out to them? How can we love them and bring them to the kingdom of God? If you see a brother or a sister straying away, it's your responsibility to reach out to them and talk to them about how would God want you to come back in line with his teaching. He said, that's where we have to go with this. And that's why Jesus was talking, addressing this. He had just been talking about the Sermon on the Mount, and he comes all around and he gets here and he talks about this issue because it was a cultural thing in the Jewish culture to be very critical of new stuff, critical of whatever is going on, and not embracing what Christ was saying. It was important for us to begin to ask that question to ourselves. You know, we're trying to build a church that is multicultural, multi-generation. That means we'll sing songs that we're not very comfortable with. Multi-race. Amen? That means we'll sing songs that you're not very comfortable with. I mean, we may jam with R&B. That's good stuff. How about if we did country? It's good stuff, right? Yeah, we may be jamming with that. Okay, you know, there's songs that the teens want to sing. You understand that? Yeah. And if they sing their songs, you and I, we may be looking around and says, how does that go again? But as fathers and as mothers, we must do what is best for the future. That's right. We can keep judging and holding back of ourselves. Let's get out of judgment and allow God to walk with us and within us to bring about this culture that he wants to build with us. Amen? Amen. Second point. Not there. Okay. We got it. Spiritual blindness breeds hypocrisy or hypocrites. You know, there are things you struggle with. There's things I struggle with, right? But if I don't deal with that, I can attack it so much in other people. I can be so controlling because I'm not seeing what I need. When you've struggled and gone and been through a challenge, a struggle, whatever it is, you feel for people when they go through it. When you've never struggled and gone through that and overcome or been through it and struggled and understood it, you put people down. You really do. And you may not say you're this, but your tone may, your choice of words and your tone of words may not be the most encouraging. You may say things that are not very inspiring to children, to wives, to husbands, to society in general. Why? Because you've never been there and struggled with it. Now, hear me out. That is not an excuse for you to stay stuck because you don't understand me because you've not been here. That's not what I'm talking about. You still need to walk with God even though they don't understand where you've been. You still need to keep going and make the changes. Amen? But it's a powerful tool when we walk within us and change. It is powerful when we stop changing because we've been there and walked that journey and began to transform, to understand what God is trying to do. To see that, you see, it's like a teacher. There are two teachers. There's a teacher of the subject and there's a teacher of the student. The teacher of the subject understands it inside out, but doesn't care whether you come along or not. The teacher of the student wants to figure out what is it about you that holds you back. What is your doubt? What is your fear? What is it about you that doesn't make you just grasp the topic? They'll take much more time. And we've got to be that for one another. Because there's some things that you're not grasping quickly. What is it about you that we can love you with, teach you, talk about, pray with you, fast with you, until you grasp it? What is it? I said, that's what, when you get rid of judgment, that's how transformation begins to happen. It really comes along. It begins to be different. You don't feel less a person because someone is doing something better than you. You just praise God that you're with them. It is rubbing on you and you praise God about that. Amen. You don't feel more important because you got more than them. You just praise God that God worked it out with you. Does that make sense? So that's what you got to understand. We get secure from Christ, not from the things we have or what people say about us. So it says here in verse 4 to 5, or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold, the log in your own eye. See, that's what happens. Because you're not dealing with you. You're not growing, and you're busy telling everybody how to change, but you're not saying, what about me? What needs to happen in me? You see, sometimes I'm preaching, and you're thinking, I am talking to you about stuff I'm walking through as well. I'm in a new culture. It's a new place. Everything's different. I was telling Mike, is old a bad word in America? Nobody wants to say I'm old. I'm saying, is that a bad word? I mean, I was sitting with Koya the other day. We were talking about tattoos. And he was opening my mind to how tattoos work in America. I said, is that right? And I could see my stereotyping flying through my brain as we spoke. I guess you go through the same thing. You see the people and you wonder, they must be nuts the way they're looking. But you see, as I went through that, I said to myself, it's all the judging that gets in the way. Would I reach out to a guy with so much tattoo? And my neighbor has tattoos and I've talked to him about God. And I'm trying to reach out to him. I need to spend more time and understand him. But I thought to myself, maybe that gets in the way of me. Not just me. I don't know about you. Maybe you have stuff that you have issues with. We're afraid to even say I have issues with that. Because what do people think about me? I think you'd be worried that what does God think about you? They're mortal people. I love them. But when it's all said and done, you have to face God. That's bigger than a human being. So get real. Get real and don't be a hypocrite. Deal with it. Get open. We're so afraid to be known. Get real, get open. When you're that way, we can touch the world. We can touch society. We can touch one another in a way that is growing. In a way that is growing. And that's what you have to understand. That's why it says that. Verse 5, you hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your own brother's eye. When you've dealt with you, it's amazing how you can help someone. And you do it with compassion, with love, with understanding, but with great conviction. When you have not dealt with you, you get in the way of God. When you have not dealt with you, you get judgmental and you injure people, then help them. It's important that we deal with ourselves so that church can be a place that attracts everyone. Amen? Let me just read this quote. Hold on. Judging others makes us blind, whereas love is illuminating. By judging others, we blind ourselves to our own evil and to the grace which others are just as entitled to us. To us, we are. This is true. If you judge people, you really get blinded. Very blinded. You know, my wife and I had a chance to move from country to country, and here we are again. It's amazing how you come with this mindset. You think, this must be right. And you get to this country, it's not right. It's different here. What are you going to do? Get angry with our country, the whole country? You learn. You ask yourself, how did they come to this? You love them. You get to connect. You get to understand that. And I'm telling you, even in Africa, as we move from one country to another, it's so different, even though it's one big place. People think differently here. They value things differently. If you judge, you will never love them. You will never reach out to them. And that's the thing we must understand, that we have to learn that. We have to understand that if we are not dealing with ourselves, we're going to judge society harder, judge people from God harder, instead of hearing from God and touching them. I hope this morning you're not blind in your heart. You're not blind in your feelings. That you reach out to people. So one thing happened. Something went wrong yesterday, this morning. That should not stop you from being gracious and having a good day today. You may have argued on your way here to church. Leave this place joyful. Amen. Have a good time. Go sit down. Have a good time. You may have had challenges last week, financial, emotional, whatever it is. Have a great time. Have a great time, because the grace of God is sufficient. Now, you may need to talk through those issues, though. Don't just sweep them under the rug. You will need to have a conversation. That is godly. Not for you to win or lose, but a godly conversation. A place of growth. A place of, how can we be better in how we're doing this? Amen? Finally, criticalness builds toxicity. When you're critical all the time, you become toxic. And when you're toxic, no one can do anything with you. You see, in this conversation, Jesus was talking about, he got to a point where he was addressing the issue of, don't give it to the dogs, they will turn back and bite you. And when you understand the culture of it was, people that are critical and toxic, anything you give to them, they turn back and bite you with it. They will not take it. And he was putting out the word of God, putting out a lot of info. They could easily turn back and bite you. It's almost like our American politics. Anything you say is turned around and used against you. That's what happens when we're not watching ourselves. And so here it says, don't waste what is holy on people who are unholy. I chose this because it was much more polite. The other one is pretty strong, so I chose this version. It was much more polite. All right, you may say, why did he choose that? It's much more polite. Don't throw your pearls to pigs. They will trample the pearls, then turn and attack you. When you're in a critical mode, whatever God gives you, you turn around and attack it. You look for a mistake in the Bible. The Bible is the Word of God. It can really help you if you trust the Word of God. Now, people have misused the Bible. And I want to talk to the teens as well. Sometimes you say, well, if I don't want to go to church, why? My dad is this, my mom is this, so I don't want to be a part of that. Your dad is not God. Your dad goes to church and or your mom goes to church, but they're not perfect. For that reason, don't stop to worship God because of the mistakes they've made. Find God for yourself. I went to church with my dad as early as I can remember. And he asked, it was a Quaker's church. We didn't make much singing. You will all be quiet right now as I spoke. And I went there and I sat there and kept telling this lie to myself. If these people are going to heaven, I must be going to heaven.
until an epiphany hit me at age 18. I said, I need to find God for me. So don't let what your dad or mom did wrong stop you from finding God. You find God for yourself. Even though they went to church, they're imperfect. And if you live long enough, you will have some issues to deal with as well. Yeah, you'll have some issues to answer to. It's easy to judge the older guys because this. Well, you just need to be around for a long time. And you look back and say, well. Now we understand how these things work. Be patient. Let's find God for ourselves. So that's why I says don't get to that mode where you're given the word and turn around and attack it. Verse 7. Keep on asking and you will receive. What do you ask for? Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. Persistence, 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 persistence. Keep asking. Don't give up easily. Keep knocking. The doors will open. Keep looking. God will bring that about. Amen? You see, the point is, don't give up on God. Today in the class we had that God is willing to wait. So don't give up on God. We give up so easily. God is willing to wait. He may not operate like Google does, but he'll come along. He may not operate like the pizza guy you call and he shows up, but he will show up anyway. Amen? Now, how do we then change all these issues we've talked about? Awareness is the greatest agent of change. You have to be aware of your criticalness. You have to ask yourself, where do I get so critical? Where do I stop myself from really growing? What is it that gets in the way of me? Get aware. Let God speak to you on that area. Ask people that love you and that you feel secure with, that can help you out, and you'll see that change will happen. Amen? And if you don't have a friend that you can talk about this, you need to build friends. Now, I know when you're younger, you feel like you don't need friends. Let me tell you, you come to an age when you feel lonely. You need friends, so start building them right now. Amen? So we need that. Finally, but not least, people change for two reasons. One reason, either they learned a lot, or they've been hurt too much. If you stay around a long time, if God gives you life for a long time, these two things will happen to both of us. We'll learn because we've heard it and we get tired of hearing it and we got to do something different. But if we don't hear it and change, what happens, the natural consequence of hearing God's word and not changing, you start getting hurt in life. That is painful. It can depress you and take you out before your time. Or it can get you to a place where you want to change. That is a choice you have. That's a choice that God gives you. I hope and pray that this morning you've taken something that you can work with for the week to begin making some changes. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you, Steve, so much for that message. I tell you, this morning has been incredible, has it not? Amen. I hope you guys was encouraged. Let's close out in prayer and we'll be dismissed. Father, thank you so much for today that we get an opportunity to honor our mothers, Father, to honor our sisters, God, your daughters. Father, we are so grateful that we get to hear a message that you put on Steve's heart, God, to help us not judge one another, but God, to love one another. Father God, I pray that as we leave these doors today, that we're encouraged, but more importantly, God, we pray that you were encouraged by our worship service today. Father, we love you, we thank you, we give you all the honor, glory, and praise that's truly due to you. Father, in all these things we ask and pray in your holy and precious Son, Jesus Christ's name, amen. You're dismissed.